And welcome to Nitwit, Rantings of a Rabid Knitter, a storytelling podcast with occasional knit bits. My name is Carrie, aka Autumn Breeze, and this is episode 86, Lacey. Before we get to today's story, there's a lot of things I want to talk with you about. One of which is that I got absolutely no comments or emails concerning last week's episode on silk, and I'm a little bit concerned that maybe I had done something wrong. Did I shut you down by saying I did not want to get into the middle of a flame war as far as the ethics of silk, or did I talk too much and bore you to death on all those details of silk? Was it something that you sat down and listened to and says, oh my goodness, I am never going to use any of this information. Why is she bothering to tell us about it? Please let me know. I need some feedback because we're going to be moving on to wool soon, and there's an awful lot of information that I was planning on sharing with you about wool. If I'm giving you the wrong kind of information, I need to hear so I'm not wasting your time. Today's story is going to be a little bit different, and I want to start it out with a warning that there is a lot of adult content contained in this story. This is a story that's been haunting me for quite a few weeks, and I have been debating on whether or not I wanted to tell the story. Then, on Friday, I heard something on the news that made me say, yes, this story definitely needs to be told. Be forewarned, this isn't one to share with the kiddies. Back when I lived in that very small Nevada town, one day, my mother asked me to run an errand for my father. He needed to drop off a package to his boss, and my mother asked me if I would go ahead and do it since I was going to be over on that side of town. Now, I didn't like his boss. As far as I was concerned, his boss was a grade A jackass. He didn't impress me from the very first time I ever met him. When I first met him and his wife who was terribly thin and about 20 years younger than him, had her mouth wired shut. And she had her mouth wired shut because he had broken her jaw. They kind of played around with it, saying, oh, she tripped and broke it on the stairs. But considering the fact that they lived in a trailer house and there were only three stairs to climb up, I had a real hard time buying the fact that she broke it on the stairs. The next time I saw the couple, his arm was in a cast because she had broken his wrist. It seemed that this couple's idea of recreation was to get drunk and beat up on each other. And I don't know, I found that just a little bit scary. Then there was the fact that Jerry had a tendency to hit on everyone. He made his moves on me, and I was just a little bit over 16. He made his moves on my sister and my mother, and I even believe he made moves on my father. I didn't trust him, and I didn't like him. But it was just a matter of ringing the doorbell, handing over the package, and walking away, so no big deal. I could do that. Well, I went over there, and he had moved. I had known that him and his wife had been separated. And I thought, yay for her. I go up, I ring the doorbell, and Lacey answered the door. Lacey was in school with me. She was a freshman, somewhere between 14 and 15 years old. I didn't know Lacey very well, but I had spent enough time with her to know that this was not a good thing. Way back when I first moved to town and I took one of those long bus rides, one day Lacey was sitting in front of me, and as we crossed by one of the bordering towns, she pointed off in the distance to a brothel and said, "That's where my mama works. She says I should be able to get a real good job there in just a few years." Her mother kept house for the brothel. She cooked and she cleaned. And she named Lacey Lacey because she thought that that would be a good name for a prostitute. Because God knows, prostitution is the only way to make good money in Nevada for a female. Because the mines don't let women work there. I was personally appalled by the idea that this girl had it in her mind that the only thing she was fit to be was a whore. So when I saw her open the door at Jerry's, I was only slightly surprised and I was very concerned. She told me that Jerry wasn't there. He had run in to get some more beer because they were out. And did I want to come in? And I said, "No, not really." Well, she sat down on the stoop and I sat down beside her and we started talking. It seems that she moved in with Jerry just a few weeks ago. He was good enough to come by and talk to her mama and see if it would be okay if she kept house for him. And he'd even gone as far as to take her up to Lake Tahoe whenever he went up there on vacation. At first, the desk clerk was a little bit concerned because it was pretty obvious that they weren't father and daughter. But when Jerry pulled out the letter from her mama saying that it was all right that she was with him, the desk clerk didn't say anything else. She was also excited because Jerry had bought her some really nice designer jeans and some of those t-shirts with the rhinestones on them that had comments like hottie on them. She was in love. She thought Jerry was the best thing in the entire world, and she told me how wonderful he was to her. I gazed at her, not quite knowing what to say, and I checked her out. She was thin. Her eyes had deep rings underneath them. I was pretty sure that she was either drinking too much or using some other drugs. There were bruises on her arms that she kept pulling her sleeve down to cover. I didn't really know what to say other than, "Good luck, and would you give this package to Jerry when he got home?" I was mad. I was furious. And so instead of going out and meeting up with my friends like I had originally planned on doing, I went home. And my mother said, "Why are you home? What's going on?" And she took one look at my face and could tell that I was pissed. She asked me what was wrong. I told her. She said, "Carrie, it's none of your business. Forget about it." I'm like, how can I forget about it? How can people just turn away from this poor girl whose mother is already prostituting her out? And she's just barely 15 years old. 2 or 3 weeks later, I ran into Lacey at school. She looked horrible. It was obvious that she had been crying. I pulled her aside and asked her what was wrong. Jerry had left her. He had gone back to his wife. I personally was pretty excited for Lacey. I felt like she dodged a bullet. She was devastated. The knight in shining armor that she thought was going to save her from having to be a prostitute had dumped her. I know that this story was not in my usual vein. I hope you understand why I felt the need to tell it. There's a woman in Utah who right now is trying to convict the men who forced her into marriage at the age of 14. They're being charged with statutory rape. I would like to think that these things didn't happen, but they do. And I'm not sure what I could have done about it, but I sure as hell think that someone else should have done something. If you have any comments about this story, please come by the website, which is autumnbreezedesigns.com, or send me an email directly at Carrie, and that's C-A-R-R-Y, autumnbreeze@gmail.com. I hope you have a good week. I look forward to talking to you next week. Take care. Bye.